In one of the biggest moments in WWE history, Eddie Guerrero captures the WWE Championship for the very first time. No Way Out 2004. You guys ready to lie, cheat, and steal? Let's do this.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
And welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, June 30th. 2019, the very last day of June. So tomorrow will begin a new month, the month of July, and then we're on to the 4th of July, a month or two of summer, and then we're right back into the fall. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because up here in upstate New York, let me tell you, the summer months go by in the blink of an eye, and it feels like you are in winter's grip for 10 months out of the year. So I don't know where you may be in your neck of the woods, but at least up here, anytime I hear people complain about the heat, I just remind them of the insanity that is the long, long winter here. So, we have got a really good show for you today. I really think that, because you guys heard the audio at the very beginning of the show, and it is one of my favorite matches of all time, not just because it ended in an Eddie Guerrero capturing his first WWE Championship, but how he got there, the reaction of the crowd, his ability to bring in the audience from start to finish, and it was a moment I won't forget. Obviously, many won't either. He was one in a generation. Eddie Guerrero, had he lived on and not had his heart fail, and you know, obviously previous drug use was a culprit in that, had that not happened, he could have been in the annals of professional wrestling, maybe in the conversation of the greatest of all time. And some people may say, well, he's still in that conversation. And maybe from a technical standpoint, he is. But it's just a shame what could have been had that not happened. But it did. It did. And he had the ability that I honestly have never seen in my entire 20-plus years of watching wrestling, that Eddie Guerrero could create such emotion in you by just watching him. The range of emotion that he could elicit from you effortlessly was downright amazing. There are times, I mean, he made me laugh out loud so many times. When he was a heel, how vicious and nasty he could be. And yes, he obviously had a career before WWE. He came in, and I believe it was 2000 with the Radicals. It was Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero. And they kind of, at least when he first debuted, I believe, didn't use him to his maximum potential until he became Latino Heat. He, you know, started dating China and that whole storyline, and really, really found his footing with Latino Heat and his hydraulic cars he'd come out in and all of that. It was a time that I really look back on, and I still, you know, before I went on the show here and I hit record, I listened and watched the match back, and it was as emotional as the day that I watched it, because it has been so long since I have seen it, and I was still pulling for him. I found myself in there emotionally invested in a match that happened 15 years ago. 15, more than that. It happened in February 15th, 2004. So We're going to get to that match in just a minute. I have a lot I want to discuss about that match and obviously where it led beyond that. But first, I need to address this Cody Rhodes chair shot incident that people are losing their minds over. And I understand that, oh, it's 2019. I love that. I love when people say the year as if things should be different just because the year is different. And of course, we've come a long way in understanding concussions and what it means for long-term health and ultimately the quality of life. The NFL is culprit number one from their concussions that they routinely try to minimize and have put rules into place to help minimize and mitigate the possibility of concussions, but they still happen. In professional wrestling, concussions still happen. It's inevitable. No matter how many restrictions you put on it, wrestling is wrestling, and it's going to be almost impossible to eliminate them completely. But you can do your damnedest to minimize them in professional wrestling. And when they took out the rule in WWE, now we're obviously talking about what happened in AEW last night, with WWE removing chair shots to the head, they did that in lieu of, I think, a couple of things. I think, first and foremost, the health of the talent. I mean, that just should be number one. But number two would be, well, that's violence. You know, we're PG. So say that the concussions never happened with chair shots to the head. Just pretend with me here that never happened. I would bet a lot of money that WWE still would have taken it away because of the fact that it's violent and it didn't fit with the PG label. So I think either way, it would have been gone because WWE went PG in 2008. But to that point, I still am tired of every time I see a chair, and I used to look, I just have this fascination with steel chairs in wrestling matches. Not that I need to see it every single time. I do not. But when I see one and it's going to be used, I already know how it's going to be used. Right off the bat, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to hit him in the midsection. He'll bend over. I'll hit him in the back. Hit him in the midsection. Hit him in the back. Rinse and repeat about 40 times. That's it. And you may say, well, that's the only way you can use a chair. Well, yeah, I guess it's probably the most effective, but there are other ways to do it. It just has become so predictable when you have a chair, and you can see the talent are so restricted when they have that chair in their hands that it's like, oh yeah, I can't do anything other than midsection, hit the back, midsection, hit your back. It's just the same formula. And I, for years, I've been clamoring, you know, the sick dark side of me is sitting there going, man, I miss when they could just whack the heel in the head. You know, like, I missed that. And don't think that those of you who are sitting there going, this guy's a sick SOB. What kind of jerk wants talent to get concussions? I'm not. Okay, I'm not advocating for that. And I don't want to put my own personal pleasure and my own personal just craving for violence at times in wrestling, which I think is missing overall, for putting that ahead of talent's health. That's not what I'm advocating. And don't also act like you haven't thought the same thing. As human beings, we have an inept just instinct for violence. I think we have kind of a preconceived craving for not participating, but maybe watching at times. I think not everybody, but some, especially wrestling fans, are kind of in that mold of those who may be a little bit more susceptible to wanting to see violence. And when you're restricted with the same form of entertainment, and you know that when you get a chair shot, it's going to be in the back, it's going to be in the midsection, blah, blah, blah. So those of you who are acting like you're holier than thou and that you really, I don't miss chair shots to the head, BS. I'm calling your crap. Because every single one of us who are probably listening to this podcast, unless you're a completely new fan, and then you're exempt from this, is and are those who watched the Attitude Era and watched WCW and watched ECW for years. And thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people would cheer when a babyface hit the heel in the head with a chair. Think about, I can't even think about how many times it's happened. And we all went, yay! Even though we knew that the talents were getting whacked in the head with a chair, a steel chair. Although, somebody did point out to me on Twitter, when you look at the Mankind and Rock I Quit match, that was a bit uncomfortable. Even at the time of my proclivity for wanting to see violence, it was a bit much of seeing that, and it's still uncomfortable today. I'm not advocating for that. You also have to think that weren't some of these chairs worked? When you see the bending of some of these chairs, when you go back and look at any of the old footage, look at how the chairs bent. Just look at them. Look at the chair, look at the metal, right? Look at this steel, quote, steel. You cannot tell me that those chairs weren't worked. 100% of the time? Maybe not, but a damn good big chunk of it was. You know how I know that? Easy. Easy experiment for you to prove as well. Go to your local gymnasium. Go to your, I don't know, maybe your office has one. Go to a hardware store. Maybe you have a Lowe's or a Home Depot near you. Okay? And they sell steel chairs. Go to that section. Pull out that chair. And you hold that chair. And you say to yourself, self, if I hit another human being as hard as I could with this steel chair, would it bend in the way that I saw a lot of these chairs bend back in the late 90s, early 2000s? And the answer is no. I'll save you the trip to Lowe's. The answer is no. It would not. It may put a small dent in the shape of a skull, but like a little bit of an imprint, it would not bend almost in half in some of the cases that you, I mean, think about the chair shots we've seen. Think about them. Sometimes the seat itself would almost break off. That's not going to happen. Physics will stop that from happening because bone is not greater than steel. Okay, so everybody up in arms about this. So kind of circling back to Cody Rhodes. And people are losing their freaking minds over this because Sean Spears hit Cody Rhodes with a chair. And people are, the number one, look, I mean, I'm just going to read some of the tweets, right? I'm not going to give names, but unprotected chair shots in 2019, yikes. Another. Can somebody please tell Cody that it's 2019 and no one needs to be taking unprotected chair shots to the head in 2019? God. You're not cool for doing unprotected chair shots to the head at AEW Wrestling. Yeah, definitely what I don't need out of a wrestling company is unprotected chair shot to the head. Nice English. AEW commentary name dropping CTE and talking about the long-term impact of chair shots to the head. Those are just some. Okay. I'm tired of the 2019 crap as if that is just the blanket statement for anything that you don't agree with and that you think should be passe. That's just what everyone says. Oh, it's 2019. This should be happening. That should be happening because it's 2019. Knock it off. Just because it's 2019 does not mean that something should not still exist.
You do it right by staying on top of knowing when it's time to stain your deck and your fence. Lowe's is here to help you do it right with the supplies you need and the know-how to get it done. Plus, we even help you save. Because now when you buy 1 gallon of Select Valspar Exterior Stain and Sealant, you'll get a second one 50% off via mail-in rebate. Whatever you need to make your outdoors even greater, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 7/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Okay, but that is what everybody likes to say for things. that they just because of the year that certain things should be done a certain way, which is a bunch of BS. But okay, now before I go on this and continue this, I just want to make it clear, because some of you are going to try to attack me on this, and that's fine. That's fine. I would love to have somebody come on here and debate me on this. I really would. Like, I invite you on the show, not to have a cursing swear fest, okay? But to just intelligently, there's the key word, just debate this. Cody Rhodes, and I'm taking the stand here not to get clicks, get ratings. This is what I believe in my freaking guts, okay? I applaud what Cody Rhodes did. I think it was gutsy. I think it was business smart. It was unexpected. It made people cringe. And it did exactly what it was meant to do. What is that thing it was meant to do? The thing we're doing right now. And that's talking about it. What was the biggest thing that came out of that pay-per-view? Nobody, you don't hear about any, if you didn't watch it, you don't know anything about it other than this, right? And that was meant to be the case. Cody Rhodes was in the main event. You want a main event that has people talking, not just, oh, it's another wrestling show. Cody Rhodes did the right thing here. The chair was clearly gimmicked. There are pictures out there of the chair being gimmicked or pre-dented or whatever. And by the way, guys, if you don't believe that these wrestling companies that have a crap pile of money can't find a manufacturer that'll create them a chair that's really not true steel or is a super, super, super thin layer that'll bend at anybody's whim, come on. Really. So let's think about that too. But Cody Rhodes took a chair shot to the head. And you had Jim Ross, you know, the commentators talking about CTE, blah, all that. And while CTE, of course, is like the big buzzword, the big buzz phrase acronym now, right? It's all about concussions. Everybody's worried about concussions. And rightfully so. There's a lot of scientific evidence to prove that concussions are worse than originally anticipated, that concussions cause a lot of other ailments. They can cause vertigo. It can cause not just short-term memory loss, but a lot of long-term memory loss, day-to-day memory loss, obviously headaches, migraines, just a slew of things that are awful, just terrible. And I am not advocating for concussions. Okay. I'm not. What I'm advocating for and what Cody Rhodes has done, and I applaud and stand for, is getting people talking. And you may say, well, yeah, they're talking, but they're talking crap. They're destroying AEW and they're getting a lot of pushback, right? But do you remember what Vince McMahon ever said? Or even Eric Bischoff has said, you guys know where I'm going with this. What has Eric Bischoff said? He made a book on it. What is that phrase? Say it with me. It's story time. Controversy creates cash. Right? That's the old Eric Bischoff adage. So what is this going to get people doing? Talking. Do you think it's going to get people to tune out? I don't think so. No, because you're going to tune in to see, well, what happens next? Is Cody okay? What's the follow-up? Smart. And again, Cody made sure that he wasn't going to get his head taken off. And he wasn't going to have a brain bleed. The chair was gimmicked. Of course, the chair wrapped around his head, the seat part of it, okay? And it did cause him, I think it was 12 staples in the back of his head, if I'm not mistaken. I'm reading a little bit on this now, some of the new details coming out. 12 staples to cover and seal up that cut in the back of his head, because the seat part of him, that chair, cut him. And that was, I believe, unintentional. So there's that risk too when you use a chair. Even if it's not true steel, metal will win against skin, okay? It just will. So, and here's the thing. I'm not advocating for chair shots all the time. I that's not what I want. I don't want chair shots all the time. But think about this. A single chair shot. Chair shots that have been given for decades and decades and decades, up until it ceased to exist as of, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. Nobody did it anymore, except when Triple H and Undertaker did it during their first match at WrestleMania 26, 27, I can't remember, but they got fined for doing that, but they did do it. Outside of that blip on the radar, as a whole, chair shots have been banned, and they have been just gone. They have been erased from wrestling maneuvers, if that's really a maneuver. You haven't seen one in a very long time. Let me put it that way. So think about this. A single chair shot has people losing their friggin' minds. I love it. I think it is so smart because nobody's done it. And Cody Rhodes is a very, very intelligent, smart businessman. He's a smart wrestler. He knows that this single moment would have people doing exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing. I don't want them relying on this violence. As much as I may have a proclivity and a crave for it at times, I don't want it all the time. Just sprinkle it in when it's necessary. And you know what it's also going to do? Not just make you tune in to see what Cody's going to say or do. It's going to make you want to see him in a match. Right? It's going to make you want to see him and Sean Spears and just tear the holy hell out of each other. They are the top trending, one of the top trending hashtags on Twitter right now about AEW. Yeah, they can take all the flack, whatever. People need to relax. I want talents to stay healthy too. I really do. I care about talent's health. Well, if you care about talent's health, why are you advocating for chair shots? I'm not advocating for true steel chairs. Again, go to your local hardware store and you tell me if that's a real steel chair in the ring. I don't think so. Gimmicked. It was as safe as they probably tried to make it to be. He does not have a concussion. That's confirmed. So if you took that, a real steel chair, and replaced it with one that was at the show last night, Cody Rhodes would probably be dead. Okay, so take a seat. All these soft people. These people are just, I can't handle these people that believe that Cody Rhodes would have put himself in danger, and everybody just has to make sure that, this is 2019. You know, you have to accept XYZ and, you know, make sure that you don't do chair shots. Oh my God, look at the CTE. Relax. And I wish I made this an uncensored show, because this would be a hell of an interesting show right now. Trust me, I am holding back a lot of different words. Use your imagination, but chill out, okay? Relax. This was intended to get people to talk. I'm doing that right now, so I've fallen for it, but I will willingly fall for that ploy and that business technique of getting people to talk about it. It's awareness of, and people who didn't even know who the hell AEW was, and they didn't even know that AEW existed. You know how many people now know it exists because it's trending all over social media? And now you got more eyeballs on the product? Cody Rhodes, you're my hero. Not because you would take a real steel chair shot to the head and have people believe that you're that dumb, but because you did something way outside the box that people haven't seen in a long ass time. And it's got people talking, and it's got your brand at the number, in some case, it was trending number one on Twitter for a while today. So, A+. Cody, keep doing what you're doing. And everybody else that thinks that that was not a gimmicked chair, do you know you're watching professional wrestling? Do you remember what professional wrestling is? Okay. End of subject. Let's move on. Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar. On to a little bit more of a softer subject, for those of you who are snowflakes out there. A softer but more fun, more emotional match of Brock Lesnar and Eddie Guerrero. This is a match that, if you haven't seen, please see it. please see it. The promo leading into this is amazing. Obviously, the match itself was amazing. The psychology that was used in this match was amazing. And after Eddie Guerrero died, it was used as part of his video package, tribute package, after he passed. And I believe it was the Hall of Fame that they used it. And the music that they had to that, I talk about going from chair shots to, like, you know, crying. But, I mean, it was so emotional, obviously, the night that he died in 2005. And then when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2006, I believe it was. Man, I mean, this guy just knew how to pull at your heartstrings. And it was just crazy. So this match was the culmination of a career of ups and downs, of beating not just his professional demons, but he was well documented in his personal demons with drugs and alcohol and going into rehab and relapsing and all that. And for him to come out on the other side and reach that mountaintop, even Michael Cole at the end of this match said that this is a new kind of high for Eddie Guerrero, alluding to the fact that, yeah, he's a well-documented drug user that went through rehab and has struggled to stay clean. And this, becoming champion, becoming the top dog in the business, was a new high. It was just super emotional. His mom was there and other members of his family were there. And it's just a moment. It's one of those moments in WWE that you don't create it in a boardroom. You don't create it at an executive meeting or a whatever kind of production meeting that they have on a weekly basis. It just happens. And those moments in which it happens are, they're magic because they're real. And that's why. And Eddie Guerrero is one of those real characters that, you knew a lot about his personal life, which I think helped cement him in people's minds as, yeah, this guy's a wrestler, but, you know, look, he behind the scenes, he's really struggled, and he's got a family that he loves, but he can't give up the alcohol or whatever. People can relate to that. Not that everyone's a drug user, of course, but we know people, and most people in our lives know somebody who's dealing with somebody that has been affected by drugs or alcohol. That's just fact. So it's a very relatable problem. It wasn't a manufactured problem. WWE wasn't trying to expose it or manufacture something that wasn't there. It was a real issue he had that he's dealt with and struggled with, and obviously ultimately led to a weakened heart, which led to his death. So while the alcohol didn't directly get him, the drugs didn't directly get him, they did contribute in a huge way to his passing. So, but again, back to the character and what he stood for. I remember that there was never a cooler time to lie, cheat, and steal. There was never anybody that made those three cardinal sins, right? Those three commandments, right? I know I'm not trying to get religious on you, but I'm trying to make it a very serious. Those are serious offenses. I mean, doesn't matter what religion you are, but those three things, you lie or cheat or steal, in almost anybody's book, those are just terrible things, for lack of a better term. Right? So you have those three things, and you have a guy that turns it into a charming, funny, and laughable traits that he has. You can't just have anybody do that. You can't take three awful sins and have somebody who makes a motto of it, executes it, doesn't just say it, lives it in his wrestling personality, and you love him for it. How many stars can do that? How many stars can take three things and make it three terrible things and make it a good thing and have you cheer for him or her? Not too many. The answer is not too many, if any. Because typically, if you look at the formula for creating a heel, well, that's easy. As far as, the things that you want them to do to get the crowd to dislike them. it's not rocket science. You could take those three things of lying, cheating, and stealing and apply them to a typical heel. And, okay, well, that's just what heels do. They lie, they cheat, and they steal. But Eddie Guerrero made it a way that was just a charming, funny, entertaining, lovable way that he did it. And I think it was because it wasn't malicious. How many times that he would use a chair, hit somebody with it, and then throw the chair on the ground, and he'd pretend to get, you know, knocked down, and the referee would come to, and how many times that he would disqualify his opponent. The referee would disqualify his opponent for believing that his opponent hit him with a chair. I mean, there are some moments out there, just even YouTube it. Eddie Guerrero funniest moments. That's out there. Even his final match, I think his final match with Mr. Kennedy in WWE was perfect. It was a great representation of who he was in the ring. He was not only a great technician, smooth, the counters he could do, the cardio level that he had that he never really seemed to blow up, and the physicality, and you couldn't see through his work. He had one of those styles that was just very snug, and I like that, because not in an unsafe way, but in a way that was, you know, didn't take you out of the moment where, you know, you see him clearly miss a punch and just go, okay, well, it's wrestling, I'm just going to pretend he punched him. Like sometimes where Eddie Guerrero would, his facials would make you believe that he really wants to kill this guy. Great facials. Obviously great in ring. Great technician. Great ring psychologist. He could make you laugh, cry, and hate him. All in the same day if you wanted. He had that ability. He understood crowd psychology. And that's what's so great about this match. You start from the beginning, and yeah, the people are cheering for him, but as he goes, he continues to reel them in and reel them in and reel them in and reel them in. And it was so well executed. That is, again, one of, I believe, Eddie Guerrero's crowning achievement was that moment. And yes, he went on to defend it successfully at WrestleMania 20. I was there in attendance at Madison Square Garden when he and Chris Benoit stood side by side in that ring as the confetti dropped, and they both hugged and embraced, and it was it was a moment. It was a moment that I don't think any fan will forget, because it was the two of the greatest of all time. An underappreciated, and when you think about it, Eddie Guerrero, not the tallest guy in the world. He wasn't Vince McMahon's perfect mold for a star. And yet, he was able to reach the pinnacle of the business through his own hard work and the fan support. That also was, I think, an early adoption or an early Daniel Bryan story, if you will. I mean, think about, we all know the Daniel Bryan story. The fans pretty much willed it to happen. And then you have Eddie Guerrero, I think, who was 6 years earlier, 7-8 years earlier than that, before Daniel Bryan even came on the scene, as he actually came in as part of the Nexus and choked Justin Roberts and then got kicked out and whatever. Shawn Michaels got him back in. But anytime the fans feel like they can create a star that WWE doesn't want to be a star, they're going to want them to be a star that much more. And in Eddie Guerrero, I think, earned the respect of fans. They knew his backstory, as I just said, about his drug use, and but how much he loves his family. He's got Vicky and all that. Right. So it was believable. He's great in the ring. He had a gimmick that was so unique in being able to take three awful things and create them in a very charming way. Amazing ring psychology. A very good promo. Fiery promo. He had everything. In terms of in-ring work, personality, promo, and he reached the top in 2004, February of 2004, 15th of two. I'll get the right, February 15th, 2004. There, instead of breaking it up, I'll give you the date straight. YouTube it, WWE Network it. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't watch this match. You really, truly are. I get nothing. I'm not trying to scam you into anything, right? Like, I'm just telling you, if you don't see this match and watch the promo for it, watch the build, okay? Don't just skip to the end. Don't just go to the end. Give yourself the benefit. Don't shortchange yourself here. See the entire thing. Even if you have before and you obviously know what I'm talking about, as I just watched this match through again, I'm glad I did. And I didn't just go to the end. I watched this from start to finish, and it reminded me how good professional wrestling can be when it's great. And when it's great, it's great. And this is one of those great moments. Now, Goldberg, I didn't bring that up yet. Goldberg interfered in this match, ended up spearing Brock Lesnar, and Eddie Guerrero got a near fall out of it. What makes it so great is that that wasn't the finish. The finish, by the way, you might want to pause if you don't want to hear the finish. Spoiler, but just giving you opportunity. I don't like to provide spoilers for those that don't want to hear them. The finish of the match was Eddie Guerrero doing a reversal of the F5 onto the Universal, no, it was the Undisputed WWE Championship at the time, onto the belt. Brock's head hit, and then he hit the frog splash on Brock Lesnar for the win. And we all remember, when you look back at that match, it's like, oh yeah, Goldberg interfered. And that was supposed to be one of the biggest spots because it was Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20. And we all know how that turned out. Trust me, I was there. It was even worse than it was if you're sitting at home. Let me just tell you, people were basically on the verge of walking out. Had Stone Cold not been the special referee and stunned both of them, people probably would have walked out of that match. I know this is not Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, this is not what this discussion's about, but just one little side note, out of every event I've ever been in my life, in my wrestling life, I have never seen a match that made me more angry in person than that match. Just 10 minutes of locking up, pushing each other like children, just going through the motions. You talk about phoning it in. Jeez. All right. But that's maybe another match for another day. Maybe every wrestling nostalgia moment doesn't need to be a great moment. How about that? But then it'll just be a bitch session, and that may not be a positive thing. But again, we all forget, and it, you know, unless you think about the match, that Goldberg actually interfered. And people loved it. People, you know, because they were so in favor of Eddie, people loved the spear. But the spear is largely forgotten because of how Eddie Guerrero just brought you into his world, his journey, and took you on a ride. And he did. Another quick note about this. I mean, I mentioned the spear. But that's when the brand split actually felt like it meant something. When Goldberg showed up there to spear Brock Lesnar, it was great. Because I remember saying, oh my God, wait, he's Raw. What the hell is he doing here? And it felt like Goldberg was genuinely invading some place he should not be. And that felt really cool. We all know that Goldberg didn't have the best run in his WWE attempt the first go around, right? I mean, that's well documented. Even Goldberg was admittedly miserable during that run, his 1-year contract run with WWE, but the brand split meant something. It felt like anybody who is on another individual's show, what are you doing here? Why you don't belong here? They felt like invaders. They did, and that was when the brand split was special. Now think about that. Just take that in and think about that for those that live that live. When you have a star that is on another show, Raw, SmackDown to Raw, and they come to the show, it felt big time. It's like, whoa, what are they doing here? Why are they here? Who are they here to see? Why are they? It felt like, oh my God. Now, just think about that now. There is zero zero, exactly zero, scientifically proven zero surprise factor with anybody showing up on any show. Right? None. There is not one star on the Raw roster or the SmackDown roster that could appear on the opposing brand show that would make me go, oh my God, they're here. What are they doing here? Wow, I got to tune in to see what they're doing. Isn't that the point of the wild card? To make it feel unpredictable? And it's done just the opposite. And while we have, I have on this show with many a co-host on many a day, even by myself ranted about the wild card rule, it is destroying the unpredictability and the specialness, it's got to be a better word than that, of having a star come from one show to the other. Because if you're going to do the brand split, do it right. Just do it. Do it the right way. You're also doing a disservice to those stars that would have gotten that airtime if the wildcard rule wasn't there, because now they're sucking up time on both shows when you could have been building new stars, which is ultimately what the whole brand split was for. I'm pro brand split. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say. I want to say bland split, but I don't know why. It's defeating the entire purpose. It's totally counterproductive. You have to be extremely disciplined. Eric Bischoff, in a Between the Ropes interview, said this last year before he was... Actually, it was earlier this year, before WrestleMania, before he obviously got the job as the executive director of SmackDown, said that if you're going to do a brand split, you have to be extremely disciplined and not be tempted to bring in a star from another show just to pop a rating. And when you do it, it has to be special, it has to be extremely rare, and it has to have a lot of meaning and long-term story arc. Boy, do any of those apply today? Any of them? Any of them? Again, I will answer for you. The answer is no. It doesn't. But back in 2004, when Goldberg speared Brock Lesnar, that felt, even though you saw it coming because Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was the sheriff of Raw, he's a co-general manager at the time, gave Goldberg a ticket because Goldberg wasn't a part of the show. Think about that, too. As I'm saying that, wow, that's how committed they were, and good for them at that time, that they were so committed that they had Stone Cold give Goldberg a ticket, a ticket to the event, so that he could sit there, even though he didn't actually sit there, he just popped through the crowd, which made sense. And Stone Cold, I remember, told Goldberg, hey, Bill, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Obviously, meaning we all knew Goldberg was going to interfere and spear Brock Lesnar. We all knew that. But just think about the commitment to that and how just the little tweaks like that. But WWE can't help themselves today. They can't help themselves but bring in the stars to both shows as if they think that's the solution. Think about the negatives here for this. It's not unpredictable, number one. You're taking away time from stars that would have otherwise gotten that time by not bringing your biggest stars over, because you always know it's going to be your biggest stars. Always. Three, it's not explained at all how it actually works, which bothers me. And a tag team is just one. None of the math works. There's no story reason for who's chosen to go as the, quote, four that are only allowed. And you're also overexposing your top stars, who are all the ones who are using the wild card rule. Overexposure, bad. Not giving new stars time to shine and time to grow, bad. Not unpredictable at all, bad. And you're not keeping the brands separate at all, which means you're not creating a dream matchup in fans' minds of, oh wow, well, SmackDown is like its own little world, Raw's its own little world. They never ever go head to head. They never overlap. That'd be awesome to see, you know, I don't know, Kevin Owens going against Shinsuke Nakamura. Wouldn't that be awesome? And instead, it just, on a weekly basis, doesn't matter who's there, inexplicably, anybody shows up, it just happens. Nobody explains anything. The rule of four just doesn't exist. I mean, I could go, the list could go on, but the wild card rule is a total sham and is nothing more than WWE's way of creatively being able to be flexible. I'm getting to that word. They want to have that flexibility to write in big stars to any show that they want. They're not going to be restricted by brand. It's lazy booking. And it just shows a lack of confidence in their separate rosters to create interest and build themselves. It shows so many bad things that are going on behind the scenes to implement this. And on the surface, it's, oh, anybody could show up. But we all know who's going to show up, which not only is not exciting, but nobody on any brand that shows up to anybody else's brand would be exciting because we've seen it all. There's no more dream matchups. We know who's going to show up. It's just it's terrible. It's a terrible decision by WWE. Terrible decision by Vince McMahon. But one I'm sure that they invoked to make sure that Fox executives sued themselves with, well, they can have their top brand, their top stars on other brands, so they can come over to the show anytime they want. It's money driven. It's not storyline driven. And that's unfortunate as a fan, as a true wrestling fan. I really feel like I am, and I'm not, I don't know if that, that could be good or bad. That's not me trying to toot my horn. It just is what it is, because I guess you could look at that as a negative or whatever. I feel like I'm a true wrestling fan, that I like to be old school in just simple storytelling. I can't believe I'm saying that that's old school, but it seems to be, and seems to be antiquated these days. So, all right, well, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but I just wanted to show you guys the difference in commitment of brand splits, of having the star have to buy a ticket to get into the event, that even though they're an employee of the company, their contract does not permit them to go on the opposing brand. That's how you do it. That's an example of how you do it. That's what I loved. That's what made it feel like it was an invasion of sorts and felt special. And it was an oh my God moment, even though you saw it coming because of what Stone Cold did the week before. But that didn't matter, because it was a moment that obviously helped Eddie Guerrero win. And kind of getting back to that match and closing this up here, I would recommend, again, anybody watch that match. You could learn a lot from it. You could get something called emotional investment from it, something that is not in today's product too much, although I hope that changes with Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman in charge. I alluded to this week with my co-host Ashley that it's not going to happen overnight. We both agree it's not going to happen overnight, but it needs to be incremental changes and just kind of slow and steady. I want slow and steady. I know a lot of fans don't want slow and steady because they want everything changed instantly, and I want it back to the way it was. I want it back to the way that it should be, whatever that may be. I'm not in that position. I don't know exactly what needs to be done. I'm not going to pretend to. But I know what's not working, and that's the creative of right now. And it hasn't been for years now. So that's what I can tell you. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction for WWE. I went in depth, by the way, with Ashley last on Thursday, or Friday rather, a couple days ago, on the Eric Bischoff, Paul Heyman appointed positions and created positions of executive directors of their respective brands of creative. So if you want to hear my in-depth analysis with Ashley, we talk about it for, I don't know, it's like 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, we really broke it down. So check that out. And I'll be back again this week. I will be doing a Tuesday, Wednesday, and probably Friday show. As Thursday is the 4th of July, my co-host and or I may have prior plans that may prevent us from getting together. But if we don't do a Thursday show, Friday will be the show date. So you'll either see the show come across Thursday night or Friday night. We're tentatively still planning on Thursday night. I know it's the 4th of July. A lot of people doing barbecues. A lot of people doing plans. A lot of people out of work or out of their homes or whatever. They're traveling. And so we'll see. But either it'll be Thursday or Friday that the show will drop, and we'll discuss everything that happened in this week in WWE. So that's always a fun deal. Love the Thursday shows with all three of my co-hosts. It's always a friggin' blast. Like, I love it, and it doesn't hear... You don't have to hear my voice drone on and on and on, right? Like, that's the positive for those of you that are tired of hearing my voice. That's the one good thing about Thursdays, too. And it tends to be a longer show, which I'm not complaining about. I love it. It's, I think, an asset, to be honest with you. I like longer-form audio from wrestling and wrestling podcasts in general. Again, guys, thank you for joining me. I'll be back Tuesday with your Monday Night Raw review, Wednesday with your SmackDown Live review, and then Thursday or Friday with your weekly wrap-up with my co-host. Again, check out WWEPodcast.com. We will be adding more content for your viewing and listening pleasure as much as we humanly possibly can. I think that you guys are giving me great feedback on the website. I appreciate that. Thank you. I want to thank you guys because you helped in the development of what I wanted to do with the site, because some of you prior to that, months prior to that, told me, oh, it'd be great if you could do this or that or make it look like this. So I used some of your suggestions in my template for the site. So thank you very much. And in lieu of doing my normal sign-off today, I'm going to give you just the audio as we close out the show. I'm going to be giving you audio from the closeout of the win from Eddie Guerrero's match with Brock Lesnar and Michael Cole's commentary, which was some of the best work Michael Cole's done well as well. So, guys, thank you so much and enjoy.
Eddie Guerrero gets his redemption. Eddie Guerrero has exercised his demons.